Today's reading is in 1 Peter, chapter 1 through 1 to 9. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles, scattered through the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace be upon you. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you are greatly rejoiced, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexperienceable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your soul.
Jack Stevens was the second head teacher for whom I worked. I'd taught in Southampton for 2 years, and on moving to North Cornwall, I had an interview with Jack Stevens for a post at the school in Camelford in North Cornwall. The interview was with him in his sitting room. Can you imagine that today, Kim? No. And I was offered the post, and I took it. One colleague, who later became a colleague, was heard to remark, when I first started at the school, "What on earth have we got coming now?" That colleague, Betty Parsons, retired during my time at the school. And although we were never what we would call friends, I suppose, we did become close colleagues. And she shared with me some of her anxieties about retirement and so on. But back to Jack Stevens. Jack Stevens and I, again, yes, we became friends, but I never called him Jack. It was always either Mr. Stevens or Sir during the 15 years in which I taught at the school. And for our sins, we occasionally went to Plymouth Argyle together. Now, Plymouth Argyle are in the championship at the moment. They're looking upwards. They're looking towards the premiership. So, come on. They've had a win and a draw so far, which is pretty good for a start. Anyway, we'd go to Plymouth Argyle, and very often on the journey to Plymouth Argyle, our conversation would turn to things about God and about the Spirit. And one day, on the way there, I said to him, "Mr. Stevens, when you die..." I thought, I'll go right to the nub of the thing. "When you die, what do you think will happen?" There was a moment's silence. And he said, "Well, if I'm honest, I think nothing." Now, Jack used to go to church quite regularly. Mainly Church of England, but he was none the worse for that. But he thought, well, nothing. I want to come back to Jack towards the end of the service, if I may. Peter, in this first letter here, talks about an inheritance. Oh, don't we love an inheritance? We love to be in someone's will. It's not been quite so good for Pauline and me recently because we've been writing our wills, which isn't quite the same thing at all. But If you're in someone's will, you're part of an inheritance. Isn't it great? And Peter says here that there is an inheritance that is incorruptible, can never perish. It's undefiled, it can never be spoilt, and it will not fade. It cannot be devalued. In fact, I'd go a little bit further than Peter, dare I, and say it's an inheritance that the more you share it, the better it gets. Now, that isn't usually the case with an inheritance, is it? You know, I can imagine, I've never been in a position where I've sat in front of lawyers and there's been a large sum of money on the table and there's been a group of people sitting around waiting to hear what Uncle Fred has left them in his will. This one is incorruptible. It doesn't perish, doesn't fade. And the more you share it, the better it is. Now, for those of you who have long memories, 16 years ago, I preached from this same passage. Now, if you can remember what I said then, come on, share with me. I'm never quite sure how much anyone remembers of what any preacher says, to be honest. But I think what we need, above all, is how we feel in a worship service. Not necessarily what we hear, but how we feel in the presence of God. So I'm returning to this passage where Peter talks about this inheritance. When I was growing up, we used to have the three R's. I never understood it. Reading, okay. Arithmetic, A. Writing, W. Three R's? Anyway, I never understood why phonics is spelled with a PH either, but that's another story. I want to bring you the four R's this morning. Bringing you the four R's. And the first R is the first R is reserved. Reserved. Peter says that this inheritance is reserved for you in heaven. Oh, yes, Mr. Preacher, especially if there's someone here who has never experienced God. It's pie in the sky when you die, isn't it? That's what it's all about. No, it's cake on the plate while you wait. This inheritance is partly ours now. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 13, says, we see through a glass darkly now. But then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know even as also I am known. Charles Wesley, and I'm going to quote him a couple of times this morning, you might be surprised to hear. In his hymn, My God, I Am Thine, says in one of the verses, yet onward I haste to the heavenly feast, That is the fullness, but this is the taste. We get a taste of that inheritance when we come to know Jesus as our Savior. That inheritance is given to us in part now, but then we will know in full. It says in Scripture, doesn't it, eye has not seen or ear heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit, as in the first letter of Paul again to the Corinthians, chapter 2 and verse 9. There is an inheritance for us, and it's for everyone. It's for everyone, whether they're a Christian or not. Whether they've accepted Jesus or not, it's there. That inheritance is available. Charles Wesley, in another of his hymns, says, for all, in his hymn, Let Earth and Heaven Agree, for all my Lord was crucified, for all my Savior died. Jesus' redeeming work on the cross was for all. God so loved the world, not Histon Baptist Church. So loved the world, not the people of Cottenham. So loved the world that he gave his only son. And through that love comes the inheritance. So it's reserved. Accept it, that it is there. And then Peter goes on to say it's going to be revealed. It's going to be revealed. When will we see our inheritance? The inheritance will be seen in the last time. Listen to what the book of Revelation says, chapter 1 and verse 7. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. Every eye shall see him. Hamelin Town's in Brunswick, by famous Hanover City. The River Weser, deep and wide, washes its walls on the southern side. A pleasanter spot you never spied. But when begins my ditty, almost 500 years ago, to see the townsfolk suffer so from vermin was a pity. Rats. Those of you who are old enough and had to learn it will recognize Robert Browning's poem, The Pied Piper of Hamelin. And the Pied Piper, it said, led the rats to the River Weser, and they were all drowned. And then he went to collect the money that he'd been promised, and it wasn't there. And so the story, according to Browning, that the piper played a new tune, and as he played, all the children began to follow. And they began to go towards a mountain, and all the people thought, he's got to stop now. He won't be able to get through the mountain. When a great portal opened in the mountain itself. And the children all went dancing through, and the portal closed. And Browning says in his poem, did I say all? No, not all. One child was lame and wasn't able to keep up with the others. And he was left behind. And Browning says in his poem that forever after, that child was sad. And is that part of what hell is? Seeing what you've missed. Seeing what you've missed. If it's going to be revealed to all, to those who have never accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior, never known what it is to have that foretaste, as Psalm 34 puts it, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. They've never tasted it. Are they going to be so sorry and so sad for what they have missed? So it's reserved. It's going to be revealed. But there is a catch. It has to be received. It has to be received. It's already reserved. It's not like Tom Champagne. How many of you remember Tom Champagne? Oh, Reader's Digest. You win a competition. He would send out this literature, and this was Tom Champagne. Whether he was actually called Tom Champagne, I don't know. But you were going to be rich beyond Croesus. This is reserved for you. And it will be revealed. But it has to be received. I want you to imagine for a moment that you owe a great sum of money. Don't smile, Pauline. That you owe a great sum of money. And you have no means by which you can pay it. And suddenly somebody comes along and says, I'll pay the debt. I'll pay it for you. Now you have a choice. You can say, oh, what a relief. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Or you can say, no, I'm going to pay my own way. I've never been beholden to anyone before, and I'm not going to start now. I'll find a way of paying it. Thank you very much for the offer, but I'll work it out for myself. That's the choice that Jesus offers. We've all been redeemed. For all, my Savior died. But we haven't all been saved, because not all of us have received the promise that God made through Jesus. It has to be received. You have to accept it as your, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have to come to that prayer of petition where you come to say, Lord, I know that I'm wrong. I know that I've done things wrong. I just want to know what it means to belong to the living God. And that can happen. If it's never happened to you, it can happen this morning. It has to be received in order for the inheritance to be given. Okay, so it's reserved. It's going to be revealed. It has to be received. Let's imagine you believe all that. What does Peter say we should do now? He says, rejoice. Rejoice. He says, no matter what life throws at you, it doesn't matter. He said there'll be lots of cares and worries. He says it there in that passage that Daniel read to us so well. He says, but rejoice. Paul, in one of his letters, says, and I've mentioned this before here, and I apologize if you've heard me repeat things, and I know I've repeated this before. My mother once, I said to my mother on one occasion, Mum, you've told me that before. And she replied, and I know I've told you this before, she replied saying, boy, you can't get to my age without repeating yourself a time or two. And if I've said this before, Paul, in his letter, says, rejoice. And then I don't think he knew what else to say. And he said, and again I say, rejoice. Rejoice. Why? Because no matter whatever happens to us in this life, if we have accepted our inheritance in Jesus, then we have cake on the plate now. We have a foretaste of heaven now. And we have that promise of eternal life and things beyond our imaginings that God has prepared for those that love him. Again, a story I know I've told before, but it's worth repeating, I think. A little boy went to see his father off at the garden gate. And when he went running into his mum, he was clutching his fist like that. And his mum said, did you say goodbye to daddy? Yes, I said goodbye. And she said, oh, what have you got in your hand? And he opened his hand and there was nothing there. He said, oh, it's sixpence. Daddy says he'll give it to me when he comes home. He'd already got it, hadn't he? Daddy had promised. Father had promised. And so it was his already. And it's the same for those of us that have come to that place where we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, where we know him to be the one to whom we owe everything. You can hold on to it now because Daddy has promised that when he comes home, he will give it to us. Jack Stevens has had return. Jack Stevens eventually retired, and I'd moved on to another school to become a head teacher. And he moved to live in Taunton. And we didn't stay in touch, apart from Christmas, really. It's the only time. And then about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago now, I had a letter from his wife saying that he had died. But one of his requests was that I would give the eulogy at his service. I always hoped and I always prayed that in the intervening years, Jack had come to realize that there was more than this life, that there was an incorruptible inheritance for him in the life to come. And I look forward to meeting him again one day.